Chapter 35. Helotine, near the border of Solist. The screaming began about 40 kilometers out from Solist. Sitting quietly in the gunship's troop hold, Stefina had the vox frequency switched to that of their so-called allies. In that moment, surrounded by the solemn figures of her seraphim, whose heads were bowed in prayer and guilt, she wondered if that word could really be used for betrayers. As abhorrent as that truth was, it was also irrefutable. Sister Helia went to cut the link, but Stefina raised her hand, stopped her. "No," she uttered flatly. It was the first time any of them had spoken since the vox feed had been opened. "We need not listen to that," said Helia, her seraphic appearance at odds with her obvious discomfort. Stefina looked up to meet her fellow sister superior's gaze. "Does it bother you, my sister, to hear their cries of pain and curses against our order?" The voices conveyed by the vox not only screamed their death agonies, they also vowed revenge upon the Ebon Chalice and the daughters of the Emperor who had chosen to abandon them. "Craven men will oft lay blame at the feet of the blameless," Helia replied. "Your own words betray you, sister, and barely convince yourself," she snapped, but then calmed down. It would not be proper to act thusly in front of the others. "We have both seen them fight. They are not craven men." She let that hang in the air for a moment to gauge Helia's reaction and see if she dared refute it. Helia's mouth shaped a response, but the words died on her lips and she shook her head. "No, nor are they savages, deserving of savage treatment." Helia lowered her gaze and let out a resigned breath. "Our orders come from the Preceptor, she who is the will of the will of the throne. Yes, I am well aware," said Stefina, reaching out to gently lift Helia's chin. She spoke with a quiet intensity. "Whatever work Canoness Angera is engaged in cannot be worth the souls of thousands of Imperial servants, the very angels of the Emperor himself." The vox feed cut to static, as whoever was broadcasting the signal could do so no longer. A brief silence followed. Helia's eyes were pleading, tearful. "We must have faith in Angera's plan, even if that plan is to leave our allies to slaughter." Stefina turned away, not waiting for an answer, as she contacted the transport's pilot. "Sister," she began with authority, "we are turning around." There was a short pause as the pilot tried to comprehend the order. "Superior, do not question, obey. Make heading for Canticus at all speed. This is my order. You are my seraphim. Let it not be said that we too abandoned our God-Emperor's sworn honor." The vessel slowed with the dull roar of turbofans banking sharply as the pilot changed course. When Stefina had relayed the same order to Avensi and Cassia in the second transport, who were both wise enough not to argue with their commanding superior, she addressed the hold. "Know who you are," she said, shouting above the engines as they pushed hard and complained loudly. "Know your purpose is divine, and that there is no greater expression of faith or loyalty to the throne than in battle against the enemies of the Ecclesiarchy. We are less than 40 souls aboard these two ships, but we will fight as more than 400. Our allies are dying on the battlefield, our promise to them ash in the wind. Take up your arms and follow me. The righteous have no fear. A holy wrath descends upon the perfidious and the traitor. It falls on ebon wings, your wings. I would have them occlude the very sun." Stefina gritted her teeth, stirred by her own rhetoric. "If any here believe we follow an unjust path, that I lead you to damnation in the eyes of the throne and God Emperor? Speak, and let us hear your condemnation." None did, and none looked down at their feet any more either. Every seraphim aboard the vessel had raised their eyes, blazing with holy fury. Betrayers no longer, they would be avengers and honor their oaths to the salamanders. "Canticus," Stephina snarled through clenched teeth, "blood and fire await us."